were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. Well, like our scripture was from Mark chapter 10, that's where we're going to be this morning. Mark chapter 10. This story is also told in Matthew 19 and Luke 18, I believe, and always, always struggle with which version to pick, you know, whose version of the story to pick. And I go back and forth because some have some, you know, nothing different, but some have, extra things. And I'm going with Mark's today. Because, I don't preach from Mark a lot. So, it's the shortest gospel. I'll stick with John. Luke's good. Mark, but a lot of people think Mark was the first gospel that was written. So, we're going to be in Mark today. Let's give spend some time there. So, that's where we're going to be. So, like Richard just read for us, people were bringing little children to Jesus. They wanted to bring children to Jesus. It's interesting. If you go to a baseball game or something like this and you go early while the guys are out there in the field warming up, you'll see people go up to the sidelines and try to get autographs. They'll have their hats or their baseballs and the markers, and they're trying to ask the guys for the autographs. And I like to sit back and watch. When I was a kid, I would try to get the autographs. I don't do that anymore because, they're not worth what they used to be, I guess. I don't know, but I don't really try anymore. But sometimes you'll see the kids. You watch the parents. What I like to do is watch the parents, because they want to get their kids in there to get the autographs, all right? They want to try to get a picture with their, and they'll, these athletes, this is what their job is. They're getting ready for a game, and some parents, they're so bold to like, "Hey, stop everything you're doing to take a picture with my child," all right? And that's because the parents love their kids, right? And they want to show that off. They want to have them, this moment, this experience for this kid that he may never get again. So it's understandable, but you see this, and I kind of get that idea here when people bringing Jesus or the children to Jesus. Jesus is an amazing person. Who would not want their child to go to Jesus, right? And so that's what's going on here. People are bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. Part of that is to bless them. That's what they're looking for. That means that's a matter of respect. They respect Jesus. They want him to have contact with their children because they know it's going to bless their children. But look at this. The disciples, the Bible tells us, rebuked them, got on to them, told them that this is not right. Y'all need to leave Jesus alone. Don't bother Jesus. Leave him be. They're like the security guards at the baseball field. That's enough. No more pictures. They got to get ready to play. That's what they're doing. Jesus' reaction in verse 14, it says he was indignant. He was displeased. He did not like how the apostles were handling this. And the thing is that they should have known not to keep the kids from coming to Jesus. Because if you go with me back one chapter to Mark chapter 9, and you go to verse 36, or no, let's start earlier than that, 33. He asked them, his disciples, "What were you talking about on the road? We were walking along, you guys were talking about something. What were y'all talking about?" They kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Have you ever been guilty of that? I like it when my kids are laughing and I say, "What are you laughing at?" And they don't want to tell me. Yeah, that means they're probably laughing about something they should not be talking about, right? So Jesus said, "What were you guys talking about?" Okay, that means they're guilty. They knew they should not have been discussing this, but they were talking, arguing, in fact, about who among them was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus, verse 35, he sits down, he calls the 12, and he says, "Look, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." And then he took a little child and had him stand among them. And he took him in his arms and he said, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me." You welcome one of these children, you're welcoming me. And whoever welcomes me, I'm sorry, I'm reading this wrong. "And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." You're not only welcome, you're welcoming these children, you're welcoming me. And you're not just welcoming me, but the one who sent me. When we read this story in Matthew, they're having the same argument. He tells them this, pretty much what he's about to tell them again here in Mark chapter 10. In Matthew's version of this story, when they're arguing about who's the greatest and he takes the child, he tells them, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. If you do not change and become like this child, you guys are arguing about who's greater. You need to forget about that. Y'all need to all be like this little kid. Because if you don't change and become like this little kid, you're not going to enter the kingdom at all. You're worrying about who's going to be greater. This kid's going to get in before you guys. He says, whoever does not humble himself like this child, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus has already told them, hey guys, you need to be like the kids. You need to welcome the kids. You need to humble yourself like the kids. These kids are an example of what is expected from you, how you should live if you want to be in the kingdom. And so here we are one chapter later, back in Mark chapter 10, and people are bringing Jesus, these children, and the disciples, after they just got done learning this lesson not that long ago, are rebuking them and saying, hey, quit bothering Jesus. They should have known. This is why Jesus is displeased and indignant with them, because he's already taught them this lesson, but they still can't get it. And it's not like the apostles are just these bad children-hating guys. This is just part of their culture. Children treated at that time were treated much differently than children now. Right now, if I'm talking to an adult and a child comes up, a lot of times the adult will stop talking to me to talk to the kid. And there's different views on whether or not that's good or bad. I don't know. But that, usually that's the way it goes, is that kids get all the attention now. That was not the case then. Children should be seen and not heard. Children don't have much value. They can't bring anything to the table. Right? They don't. What do they have to offer? All they need, you have to provide for them. And so all they're going to be is a burden to Jesus. They're not going to understand his lessons, right? He's here. He's on a mission. They're just going to get in the way is what they're thinking. That would have been part of their culture. So they wouldn't really have been doing anything other than what anyone else would have done. But Jesus is upset with them, and he says, let the little children come to me. Let them come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Guys, remember, we had this conversation. This is who I want you to be like. Why are you keeping them from coming to me? This is who the kingdom of God belongs to. Those that come empty-handed, without a lot of reservations, right? Without status, without people looking up and saying, oh, I admire them. That's who the kingdom belongs to, such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. The children are coming to Jesus. Why? Because he's Jesus. That's why they're coming to him. Because in this relationship, he gives and they can just receive. He blesses and they receive the blessing. What do they have to offer Jesus? What gifts do they come bearing in their hands other than just being themselves? And he loves them for that, for being the children that they are. And he receives them because of that. He took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Beautiful picture. A lot of times in the kids' part of churches, this picture's painted, right? Jesus there with the children around him. Because we get that. We understand that, right? Like, Jesus loves kids. I mean, who doesn't love kids? But do we love kids when, you know, they're crying and snot-nosed and annoying us, right? Jesus loved children, not because of what they had to offer, but because of who they were. And then we keep reading, because now the story's going to change. Because, you know, the Bible lessons, Jesus and the adult, we've been talking about Jesus and the children. Verse 17, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Not a child, a grown man. Now, we learn in the other Gospels that it's a young man, but it's a man nonetheless. It's not a child anymore. The apostles did not stop this guy from coming to Jesus. They didn't rebuke him for bothering Jesus, because this guy, he had some importance, right? Throughout the Gospels, we learn that he's a rich ruler. He has money. He has some power, right? Some influence. So he's allowed to just come to Jesus, right? No one stops him. And he falls on his knees before Jesus. He says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Great question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You remember the story of the prodigal son? The dad has two kids, right? It's all theirs. We learned that at the end of the prodigal son. It's all yours, son. You're waiting. It's always yours. Everything I have is yours. What must I do to inherit it? All you got to do is be my son. You don't have to do more than that. I want to give it to you. It's yours. Just be my child. But this guy here, he's asking, what must I do to inherit it? But it sounds like he's trying to earn it. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one's good except God alone. Well, you know the commandments, right? Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony. Don't defraud. And honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he says, all these I've kept since I was a boy. I was a boy. I was a child once. And I kept those. But now what else? What more do I have to do? Verse 21 says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him. He gave him his attention. He saw who he was. And he loved him. I wonder if Jesus can relate to this guy. Was Jesus a ruler? Did Jesus sit in a position of power? Did Jesus have great wealth? At that moment, no. But had he had it? Was he not with his father before? Was not equality with God something that he had that he let go of to do what his father asked him to do? To come to this earth and humble himself and be a servant and even give himself on the cross for others? Jesus was in this guy's position before, but even more so. And so he knows where this guy is coming from. Right? He can relate to that. But Jesus knows also the blessings God wants to give and what it means to truly follow. And so he sees this man. He sees who he is. And Jesus loves him. And Jesus tells him, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. You've done these commandments. You've done what's been asked of you. You've been doing them since you were a boy. But now, unlike when you were a boy, you have all this other stuff. You have this power. You have this influence. You have this wealth. You're young. You have this potential of life in front of you, right? You got all these things that you didn't have before. Get rid of all of that. Sell it. Give it away. And then come follow me. And then you're going to have eternal life. At this, the man's face fell. And he went away sad because he had great wealth. His face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. What if someone said, hey, give me a sentence from the Bible. You don't know anything about the Bible at all. And someone said, all right, here's your sentence. You know nothing of Jesus, God, the promises, the blessings, the Old Testament. You don't know anything. And someone gives you this sentence from the Bible. He went away sad because he had great wealth. That wouldn't compute, would it? This man went away sad because he had great wealth. That doesn't make sense. If someone said, Joseph, you have great wealth, I don't think I'm going away sad. I think I'm walking away from there happy, right? I got great wealth. But this guy, because he had great wealth, he's walking away sad because what Jesus is offering him, his wealth is not going to allow him to obtain. His wealth can't buy what Jesus is offering. It reminds me of where the red fern grows. I always mix that one up in Old Yeller. There's dogs in both of them, right? Where the red fern grows. All right, Billy, the character, his grandpa teaches him how to make a raccoon trap. And he said, yeah, put something shiny in there. And the raccoon, he reaches in, his hand fits in, and he grabs a shiny object, and it's too big, and he can't get it out. And the raccoon wants that shiny object so much, he won't just simply let go to pull his hand out, and he'll stay there, and you can just go up and trap him and get him because he's got that shiny object that he won't let go. That's what this man's great wealth is. Is this shiny object that's keeping him from obtaining this life, this eternal life that God wants to give him. God has so much more, Jesus has so much more in store for him, so much more planned for him, so many more gifts that his wealth can never get him, but he wants to hold on to his shiny object that he has, so much so that it's going to be the ruin of him. And it makes him sad that he has it all. He couldn't depart with it. He couldn't give it up for something much greater. The disciples are amazed at this. They're amazed at Jesus' words. This guy, right? This guy can't get it. I mean, this guy had everything. He's the guy we want to be, right? He's not just some rich guy that's egotistical and, you know, you don't really like him. You wish you had what he had, but you don't like him. No, this guy's a good guy. He keeps the commandments, right? He honors his father and his mother. He keeps the law of Moses. He has power. He has influence. Like, we all want to be this guy. And Jesus is saying, sorry. You think that guy can't get in? What are we going to do? What about the rest of us, right? Jesus said how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said it again. Children, children, Jesus calls them. How hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? If that guy couldn't do it, he had everything. If he couldn't do it, who then can be saved? We look at this scripture, and we usually, and I know I've preached about it before, and so, you know, if you heard it before, you know, maybe, I'm just saying, maybe there's a reason you're hearing it again. I don't know. If we preach about this and we think rich, that's where our focus and our attention goes, rich. But couple it with the story just before that, the children, right? And I can tell you the lesson's like, you know, in the world standards, we're all rich. We're all rich, right? We all have way more than we need, way more than we deserve lots of times. But maybe it's not the same as this guy, right? What is it that we hold on to that keeps us from truly following Jesus? What shiny object are we grasping in our hands that we're not willing to let go of to truly follow Jesus? And that's just what it is, right? It could just simply be a trap. A lot of times, if people use to catch raccoons, they use aluminum foil. That's enough to capture that raccoon's eye. What is it that we're holding on to that we think so great that really may actually be our downfall? Could we have that mindset to look at the things as adults, right, the things we place importance on, and be sad that we have those things because we know they're our downfall and have the mindset to get rid of them, to eliminate them from our lives? For some, it may be material possessions. It could be any number of things, but it could something that's keeping us from truly receiving the gifts God wants to give us, much greater than anything we can acquire for ourselves. This guy, he is put in a certain position. He's given a label, a rich, young ruler. But the truth is, in our society, we all want to be, in some capacity, rich, young rulers. We just have this mentality that we're always trying to keep our youth. We're trying to do things to appear younger, to feel younger. They use it in advertising to take our money all the time because that's what we're after, youth. Let me alter the way my face looks to look younger. Let me dress differently so I can look younger. I have to continuously stay in shape to hold on to this youth that's going to leave me no matter how hard I try. Now, I'm not saying don't work out and don't eat right or anything like that, right? But don't let it become an idol. We all want to be young, and we all want money, right? We're always trying to acquire more and figure out how we can save more and stockpile it and acquire more possessions. And we all want to have some kind of authority and some kind of sway. We want to be influencers, right? We want people to listen when we talk. We're all seeking what this guy has. And I'm saying, I'm using very general. I'm not accusing every one of us in here of doing that. But as Christians, we should recognize the trap that all of that is. It's as if Satan has used these shiny objects and say, I don't even have to put them in a cage. They're going to hold on to it themselves and not follow Jesus. How smart we would be to let go of these temptations, to try to hold on to things that are fleeting us and to accept the gifts Jesus wants to give us. Accept them like little children, right? To be like little children. To go to Jesus not for what we can get or not to think what we can bring, right? We do that oftentimes in the church. A member or someone comes, a visitor, and man, if this visitor, you know, they seem like put together and that guy could be a blessing to our church. We need to get him. We need to make sure that they come to our church. It's not about what they can bring. It's about what God can give, right? He's the one who does the work. It's His Holy Spirit that guides us and propels us and motivates us, gives us the tools and the resources we need, not our own. Right? We need to have a reliance on God to provide for us the things that this church needs and that we need. And so, church, this is the message this morning. Don't be like the adult in this situation. Yes, we need to become spiritually mature. Yes, Paul talks about putting away childish things and become spiritually mature in Christ. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Come to Jesus with nothing. He doesn't need anything you have. He just wants to give you. In fact, the things you do have are going to hinder you. Get rid of them and come to Him empty-handed, full of trust, full of dependency on Him so that He can touch us and bless us. That's how we need to come to Jesus, humbly, lowly, with nothing to offer, knowing that we don't have all the answers, knowing that we don't need to have all the answers, and come to him simply because he is Jesus, and he's the one that saves us. And then we have to treat others in that same way. When I approach you, I don't come with knowledge. I don't come with power. I don't come holding anything above you, but I come in the spirit of Jesus. And that's how we need to treat one another. Over and over throughout the Gospels, Christian believers are referred to as children. Go read in the Gospel of John and then read in his letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Children, 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 he says. He refers, wouldn't that be insulting? How insulting if I called you hey, child, you're a child. Yeah, well, you wouldn't like that. We wouldn't like that, right? But we're God's children. What a beautiful thing. I want to be humble. I want to be lowly like that. John calls us children, and that we shouldn't get offended or upset by that. That is an honor. We need to humble ourselves and be lowly in that way to receive what God has to offer. Church, there's not much more to say on this, right? I mean, we look at this, and we look at this rich young ruler, and, you know, it's hard. It's there it is. What do you want to do with it? What do you want to do with that scripture? We keep reading, and Peter says, the disciples were even more amazed and said, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them. He gave them his attention. He looked at them, and he said, with man, it's impossible. That's the whole thing. You can't save yourself. The guy was trying to save himself. He's good enough. You know, he could give enough. He could do whatever. He had influence and power. But you can't save yourself. With man, it's impossible. Quit trying to save yourself. But with God, all things are possible. It's not impossible with God. All things are possible with God, and he can save you. No matter how poor you are or how rich you are, God can save you if you let him. Peter said, we've left everything to follow you. And that's true, right? I don't know if Peter was necessarily bragging. Like, whoa, well, sure, we left it all. He did, though. They left their source of income. They left their family. They left their boats and their jobs, right, to follow Jesus. Maybe Peter was saying, like, I mean, is that it? Like, we left you. What does that mean for us? Jesus says in verse 29, I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, and fields. I'm going to pause there. He says, if you've left all that for me, you're going to receive that more so in this age. It's a beautiful thing to live in the community of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. Church, we've received through Jesus Christ family. I grew up with three brothers. I was very blessed, right? Loving family, three brothers. Ask me how many brothers I have now. I didn't have any sisters growing up, but ask me how many sisters I have now. How many moms and dads in the faith have I had? How many homes have I been in and gotten to share and eat with? And people say, "This, my house is your house." Right? This is what it means to live in a community of Christian brothers and sisters. We've received so much. We are extremely wealthy in so many ways because of what Jesus has done for us and how he's brought us together. And if we keep reading, it says, along with those blessings, Mark adds, you're going to receive persecutions as well. This is not a utopia where everything's perfect, because Satan is opposed to what Jesus is doing in the lives of his children. And you may receive persecutions, or you will receive persecutions. But he says, in this present age, you're going to receive, and not only that, but in the age to come, eternal life. What? He said, you'll receive it. You're going to be given eternal life. You're not going to earn it. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. That rich young ruler who everyone thought was first, who you let cut to the front of the line to come to Jesus, guess what? He's last if he gets in at all. Those children who you didn't want to come, they're going to be in first because that's how they're approaching the throne. Church, who do we see as first and who do we see as last? As Christians, our worldview should be turned upside down. We should see things opposite the way the world sees them. And it should be done daily in all areas of our life. We should see those who the world says are lowly and say, I'm going to you. You first. And those who have doesn't mean we're hateful or anything like that, but we should not be enamored or idolize people who have or people that are in power. Right? That's not, Jesus has taught us to live differently, and that's who we follow. So your lesson this morning is not to be an adult in the matters of faith and dependency upon Jesus, but to be a child. A child without their parents will struggle, will suffer, may not even survive. A child depends on their parents to teach them, to nourish them, to provide for them, to house them, to do everything that good parents are supposed to do. That's how we should approach Jesus. That's how we should approach God in our faith. You provide everything I need, and I depend on you. I don't go looking for nourishment in other places. I don't go looking for joy in other places. I don't go looking for fulfillment and other things that this world has to offer. I don't want to be a child of this world. I don't want to be a child of Satan's. I want to be a child of God's. I want to be called children, or I want us to be called children by God, right? So church, let's have that attitude. Let's look at children and welcome them. Let's look at children, and not because of what they bring, but because they're gifts from God, right? And let's be children. Let's not immature, but let's be children in how we accept Jesus. I'm going to say a prayer, and then we'll have our song of invitation. And during that time, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you want to be baptized, you can. Come forward. We'll take your confession. We'll baptize you into Christ. You can receive him like a child this morning. Or if you need the prayers of this congregation, you can come down, myself, the elders. We will pray with you. If you want to become a member of this body of believers here, we'd love for you to join us in the work that we want to be doing, the work for God's kingdom. So with all that, will be offered to you at the invitation. Let's pray together. Holy Father, we come before your throne, Father. We are your children. We're so grateful. We're so honored to be called your children, Father. We recognize that all things are yours. Whatever small treasures we acquire in this world, Father, please help us to see them for what they are. Temporary. Father, we pray that they don't become idols, they don't become traps, they don't become things that keep us from truly receiving the blessings you want to give us, Father. If there are things in our lives that are keeping us back, I pray, Father, that you make it so apparent to us and give us the courage, the strength, and the faith to get rid of them, to sell them, to cast them aside, Father, and to fully trust in you. I pray that you just prick our hearts and show us areas that we're hanging on to things that are holding us back, Father. Father, we're thankful for your son, Jesus Christ, for the fact that he gave up everything to come and to serve and to love and to give his life for us, Father, on the cross. And it's in his holy name that we pray. Amen.